Hey, like I said, I'm here to stay. Make a good lucha thing. God damn!
Four life.
Good evening, wrestling fans, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Unscripted with me, your host, Shannon Young, here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. With me, as always, for Pro Wrestling Unscripted, the five-star man down at the end of the table,
yes.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
Missed you last night.
Yeah.
Don't read into it too much. The show went great without you. Next to Asa is the 69-star woman.
Oh.
You know what
that is? You don't even know.
Don't tell her. It's Ali Hebert.
Why am I here?
So I was playing Super Mega Baseball tonight, earlier today, and the gang was here, and I created a batter for you, you know, or a player, and you come up to bat, and Nate goes, "Is her name really Alethea?" And I just giggled a little bit.
He's probably surprised that such an exotic-sounding name belongs to a white person.
Are you white?
No.
I thought you were Greek.
The joke is that Nate's racist. Also, Speaking of All-Star Baseball on PS4,
yeah.
Why is the announcer Bob Dylan? And why is Bob Dylan doing a Triple H impression?
Here's my
strike! It's inside! Ball! You're out!
It's like...
It's so much fun, though.
That has to be intentional. That's not someone's just normal speaking voice. That has to be someone doing a Triple H impression.
I like it. It's a really fun game. It puts the fun back in baseball that I sorely lack in games like... MLB The Show, which are so intricate.
What was the baseball game that you just obliterated Zach in the Home Run Derby?
That was The Show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, that looked fun.
And it was fun obliterating Zach. That's always fun embarrassing Zach Price.
He thought he had like...
Former co-host of a Pro Wrestling Script.
He had like nine. He thought he was doing so well. Because
he brought the game.
It was his game.
He brought the game in here. Zach Price, and if he's listening, shout out to Zach Price. He has a history of bringing games in. And then losing them.
Because he wants to show off. He wants to beat you at something.
Crystal Francis, former Nerd Up co-host, beat him at UFC in the first time she ever played, which sent him out the door in a fit of rage.
One of many times.
The best, though, was when our old friend Double H, Hunter Hendricks, was here with me and Zach, and we were playing 2K16. I think it was 2K16. And we did a Royal Rumble. and me and Hunter just double-teamed him, beat the crap out of him. And then I got put out, but Hunter kept playing, and Hunter beat him. And threw him out, and while Zach was waiting for his next wrestler to come in, he's literally, his face is red, he has tears in his eyes, he's shaking, he's going, he's so mad. And then the funniest part is that he didn't know how to come back in the match, so he watched the entire match, which I think Hunter won, and then when he realized he wasn't coming back in, he coined that classic phrase, rematch. To which Hunter said, "Nah, I'm good," and left.
Isn't that also when Zach tried to like grab at his controller?
He did. He tried
like your younger brother.
Yeah,
just trying to.
That was the first. I think it was the last time Hunter Hendricks ever played wrestling here with us. Because why play ever again?
Yeah.
Why ever do it again? You've already exceeded.
You have simultaneously reached the high and low points of playing a wrestling game.
Oh, that was good times. Speaking of Double H, we got some exciting news. Which it's not really breaking anything here, but I wanted to mention that Cape Championship Wrestling, again, is coming back to, I believe, the AC Braze Arena on August 27th. They've got their homecoming show. Ricochet is going to be there. Sexy Sarge is going to be there, and that's the important thing. Asa, are you going to this show? Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Because I really want you to meet Sexy Sarge. Sexy Sarge O'Reilly is the coolest guy in the world, and I'm a big fan of his already. He wears a thong in the pictures I posted. Does that help?
That honestly makes me think of like, and this is this isn't a joke. I'm not like, because I know Allie doesn't know this name, and I'm not being graphic. This is the literal name of something. When you say that, all I can picture is Big Dick Johnson.
Very similar, actually. Sexy Sarge is in better shape, and is a wrestler.
Yeah.
Big Dick Johnson. All right. Do you want to school Allie on it?
Okay, so there was a character very briefly in WWE on primetime television.
Yeah.
Named Big Dick Johnson.
Big Dick Johnson.
Who was a producer, writer?
Yeah, I think he was a writer.
And he was rotund. Scott Steiner would say fat.
Fat asses.
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
Who, the only thing he did is he would come out in, like, a Chippendales bow tie and a thong and just...
dance.
I would assume Randy Orton levels of body oil.
Yeah. Oh, my
and
God,
then dance
yes.
And grind on wrestlers and authority figures. And
see,
it was the funniest thing.
You know, we're going to get into the name of the new championship a little bit later, but...
Do we have to?
We do, because I'm upset about it. But we talked about it in the PZ85 chat today, and I think
Which
it was...
I have not been in like 3 days.
You haven't, and I missed you.
I've...
Like crazy.
Yeah.
But Cody, or it was Cody or Dalton, I think it was Dalton, said that... I suggested they should just call it the Raw Championship and the SmackDown Championship. Who cares? And Dalton said, well, that cheapens it. And I said, well... Vince McMahon said goodbye to high class entertainment a long time ago. And Big Dick Johnson is a perfect example of that. See the humor, because I know you're a little younger than the rest of us and you don't get adult humor as well as we do. The humor of it is that he was fat and he wore skimpy attire that you would normally see on a sexy person.
So you could see that this person was fat. Like
yeah.
You could see all of his fat parts.
Yeah. He was jiggling around and normally you would see an attractive man with muscles and abs. Oiled up like that and dancing for the pleasure of women. But see, because he was fat.
How long are you going to explain this?
As long as it takes until you laugh.
Yeah, because that's kind of what Vince McMahon's like. Oh, you're not laughing yet? Well, let's try it this week.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not laughing yet? Because you know that was Vince thought that was just... He was in tears.
He was
in tears.
He was
that.
Backstage crying. Just
like,
crying.
The crowd loves it, right? Sure, Vince.
Yes, Vince. Are they booing? I think they're saying boo earns.
Big Johnson. I don't know how to... No. Yeah, no. They're just booing.
But Sexy Sarge is definitely better. And they just announced via the Cape Championship Wrestling Twitter and Facebook that the first and second row tickets are sold out. And they're very close to selling out completely. And I'm very happy about that because the turnout for the first show was good for a first show for an indie fed, you know, that's just starting. And I'm really excited that these guys are getting exposure. And we will continue to expose them. Well, that's not the right term.
You want to expose Sexy Sarge.
I don't have to.
He does it himself.
Yes, I don't have to expose Sexy Sarge.
So this is a dumb question because I didn't make it to that show. So maybe you may not know either with the way. Because Osby, before he had to retire, was the cult of...
Kayfabe.
Kayfabe champion.
Yes.
Is the cult of kayfabe different from CCW, or was it, like, that's the belt that they're defending?
No, cult of kayfabe is a different entity.
Okay.
Yeah, he was the cult of kayfabe champion, and that is separate from the Cape Championship Wrestling
but
title.
So it was just, like, one of those things where he can defend, like, they're defending that title on a different show.
Yeah, which he was going to, but unfortunately could not, because he did retire, and Brandon Barbwire won the Cape Championship Wrestling after the tournament, and then he was the good guy.
Okay.
And he was fighting Farmer Billy Hills in the final event. Did I get the name right finally? Billy Hills?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He fought Billy Hills. Sexy Sarge was out there backing up Billy Hills because they're both heels. And then Brandon Barbwire in the end turned on his opponent. I forget the name of his opponent. It was Jason. Not Jason. I forget his name. And I feel so bad about it.
He turned on the
other good guys
who came out to help him since... Sexy Sarge came out.
Right.
To...
And he turned and he's a Jeff O'Dell guy. Jeff O'Dell is their manager. Now he has the stable, which I assume they're calling the Pinnacle, which at the end, Hunter, who is the GM for that show, and I believe he's the GM for this show going forward, great news, he booked a match for August 27th for the bad guys and the good guys to go at it. And Hunter's going to be there in the GM role again, from what I understand. I hope I'm not, you know, revealing anything that hasn't already been revealed. I think they've announced it already.
I know. I think he has.
But it's going to be exciting. Podzilla is going to be there, of course. Pro Wrestling Unscripted is going to be there covering it like we did last time. And I'm really looking forward to it. And just a big congratulations to those guys and Ken and Jason and Hunter and everybody else over there for putting on a good show and so far meeting with some good success. So
plus we're still trying to get work with them to get them kind of on the show.
Yeah, we're going to try to get some of those guys on here.
I had an idea about that. I've been meaning to tell you for like a week now, but
we're going to try to work with Cape Championship Wrestling because Pro Wrestling Unscripted is the quintessential of Cape Girardeau podcast for wrestling. I mean, we may be the only one.
By default.
But even if we're not the only one, we're certainly the most popular one.
We're the best.
So you have Podzilla 1985 located in Cape Girardeau. You have Cape Championship Wrestling in Cape Girardeau. There's no reason the two shall not meet for exciting things.
Yes.
But we'll keep going on that a little bit later.
Yes.
And again, congratulations to Cape Championship Wrestling. August 27th, homecoming. Ricochet is going to be there. All your favorites from the first show is going to be there. It's exciting. Can't wait to see it. Moving on to the quote unquote big leagues, the major of worldwide, Mr. Worldwide.
The universal. Even.
The universal yeah. champion. We're going to go to Battleground first. It was Sunday and I don't know what to say about Battleground. It's very much like every other WWE pay-per-view of recent memory that the matches were actually really solid. Some of the booking was questionable, but some of it was outstanding. The questionable booking to me was, why do you have the Wyatts go over the New Day?
As they're breaking up.
As they're breaking up. But yeah. The New Day, it's just like the League of Nations at Mania. Well,
it's so, yeah, I think it's because, you know, the New Day, my assumption on it is that the New Day don't necessarily need to win every time, especially if it's not for the championship.
Yeah.
The thing that made the League of Nations even more infuriating is that the League of Nations broke up a couple weeks after the fact.
Right.
And whereas the thing that's infuriating about this is the Wyatt family broke up two nights later. Because of the draft. And that's my biggest problem with this event is, why would you hold a pay-per-view directly before a draft? Because this is most of the matches were cross-brand.
Yeah.
And that had big cross-brand implications. And aside from the WWE Championship match, none of it was talked about. You had the actual, the mid-card champions, the U.S. title, the Intercontinental Championship. They weren't drafted until like the fourth round. Mm-hmm. And then the number one contenders to those championships weren't drafted until the after show.
Right.
That you had to watch on the network. So what's that say about, what did that say about Darren Young or Zack Ryder's chances?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so we don't want to draft The Miz, but we have to draft The Miz because he's the Intercontinental Championship or he's the Intercontinental Champion. I mean, Darren Young, he's a good guy. And Bob Backlund, you might like him. He could win. Do you think he's going to win? You clearly don't.
Right.
Because otherwise you would have picked him.
Zack Ryder got picked below Naomi, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I watched a documentary on Netflix the other day called Ghost Heads. It was a... don't laugh. This is a real
thing. Don't name it Ghost Heads.
I mean, it's about the Ghostbusters fandom, which apparently the hardcore fans are called Ghost Heads. I don't know. But during this, as I'm watching it, they're talking to all the big fans and stuff. Who pops up on the screen? Zack Ryder. They interviewed Zack Ryder for it because he's a huge Ghostbusters fan and a huge toy fan.
Ghostbuster trunks at yep. WrestleMania one year.
Yeah.
Multiple times did the jumpsuit and proton pack for Halloween.
Big fan of it, and he got interviewed. They didn't label him as Zack Ryder. They used his real name, which I forget. It's like Matthew something. Mm-hmm. When I saw him on there, I was so sad because this was after Battleground and he lost, of course. Mm-hmm. And other than the New Day losing, that's probably the one I was angriest about because the Zack Ryder, it went 7 minutes, which is what, 2 minutes longer than their usual matches on Raw? Because again, wrestling fans, if you don't know, I believe there was a legitimate tour about 2 years ago called the Rusev Destroy Zack Ryder Tour, and it went all over the country,
I'm
Rusev
you,
beat Zack Ryder in every state on Raw.
You're exaggerating that. It was Zack Ryder was the pit stop on the Rusev Beats Up All of the Minorities Tour when he was not beating Xavier Woods, Big E, and Kofi.
Right.
He would, and R-Truth.
Yeah.
He would then beat Zack Ryder and I think Jack Swagger.
He did beat Jack Swagger. Like and Ziggler too, didn't he? But far less.
Far less, and I think that was made as an actual feud. Like the Big E one was an actual feud for about a week.
So was this.
Yeah.
What sense does it make? You build Zack Ryder up so many times and then knock him back down. And this is what they're going to do with the New Day, by the way, is that they're going to assume wins and losses don't matter as long as the merchandise is selling and people are popping. But look what happened to poor Zack Ryder. Eventually, after, you know, yo-yoing him back and forth of, yeah, we're going to push him. Nah, not so much. People eventually stopped caring. There was a time at, I forget which pay-per-view it was, or it was an event, where the crowd chanted, we want Ryder, and then other people started chanting, no, we don't. That never would have happened years ago when Zack Ryder was hot, but the poor booking that they did.
I think the difference is that I don't see the New Day being pushed off of a ramp in a wheelchair.
I don't either. And the New Day are more entertaining than Zack Ryder. Like, no offense to Zack Ryder. I love him.
Yeah.
But the New Day, there's a reason they're so special.
Yeah.
You can't.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. You can't get that magic again.
And yeah, I mean, I'm looking through and a lot of these matches weren't that long.
They're really not. A lot of only three of them clocked over 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the three that clocked over 10 minutes, two of them almost went 20. And that was the Dean Ambrose match and the Sami Zayn match, which, by the way, the Sami Zayn match, off the charts.
The Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match is a match that, like, that's between it and Sami Zayn Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong in the Samoa Joe Finn Balor one. Cause I don't know why that's, we've talked about that. That's something you can show people as this is why I watch wrestling.
Right. Except for that part where he tried to go for the, I don't know what he was trying to go for, like a top rope bouncy moonsault splash and ended up almost killing himself. There was a couple times,
close calls that we were just like, please just show, why wouldn't they show Big E get up? Why wouldn't they show him walk?
Every time I've seen Big E do that mid rope spear.
The spear through the ropes.
Every time I get scared. Every time I see him go for it. It's like when The Undertaker would do the jump over the top rope dive.
Yeah.
Every time he did it, I thought, please don't do this, because one day you're going to miss.
Yeah.
And this was the time Big E almost botched it completely.
Apparently Meltzer hates it too. Like, he's like, it's scary looking.
It is.
And he might, and he thinks he's just doing it to prove a point at this
Big
point.
Big E or?
Yeah. Kind of like CM Punk in the elbow drop.
Yeah.
That everyone was like, it's the worst double drop ever. So he tried to make it even worse.
Or Undertaker. There's no reason the Undertaker should try to jump over the top rope anymore. But he still does.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to.
Which, I mean, honestly, props to him because, yeah, he doesn't need that. Yeah. But...
Also, why was the Undertaker drafted?
Mm.
Apparently no one wanted him.
Yeah. But they sure got, they jumped on Mojo Rawley.
They wanted that Naomi. By the way, after Rusev beat Zack Ryder, because of course he did, but it was actually really cool. I just want to mention the ending sequence where Ryder was in the Accolade and he powers out of it, which I guess that has been done before, but I don't remember it. But to see Zack Ryder do it.
Oh yeah.
It was like, oh wow, this may be something. And then that absolutely sick pullback accolade that he did.
Kalisto-ish.
Oh my god. That move scares me too. Mm-hmm. And then Mojo Rawley comes out to make the save, and the look Rusev gave him, which was then punctuated by the tweet he sent out later of, it was to the extent of, fan jumped into the ring. What am I supposed to do?
That's amazing. Yeah, and that's another thing that bothered me. It's like, okay, you're doing a good job of setting up a feud that isn't going to happen because Rusev and Rawley are on separate brands.
Yeah.
Why wasn't this a pay-per-view done after the draft with brand? Like, you can have battle, if you want Battleground to feel like a big deal, which it absolutely should be if your main event is the Shield triple threat for the WWE Championship.
Right.
Then make it be the first, like, I know they're doing it with SummerSlam already, but like, if it needs to be the first pay-per-view featuring Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
Then you can make that, hey, this is the first pay-per-view of the new era.
Do you remember how long it took them to do back during the original draft, how long it took them to do the SmackDown versus Raw pay-per-views?
Like 3 months?
But it felt like a bigger deal.
I mean, that could be wrong. I'm just crapping on the original.
I think it was longer than that. I think they kept them separated for quite a while. And maybe I'm wrong on that. But for them to do it immediately following the draft of like, well, here's a cross-brand pay-per-view. Why?
Yeah, either way, that's... I have nothing positive to say about the draft. We'll get into that more about.
Well, there's one positive thing. Kalisto's interview.
Cesaro's interview.
I'm going to go with Kalisto. he's here to prove that.
Stop it.
The card was pretty solid down, top to bottom. The only real up substance, because like you said, most of these feuds are now completely over because the teams have split.
Yeah.
The people have split onto other shows.
Both the secondary championship matches, there won't be a rematch because even though that weird ending to the Intercontinental Championship with Darren Young,
which
getting
made absolutely
disqualified because.
Made absolutely no sense.
It made no sense. They did kind of the throwback to him looking at his hands like Backlund used to do after he would choke out some like 90-year-old man who was a accountant.
Which is fine.
I'm okay with that. Just the actual match ending itself was nonsensical.
Most people labeled it as a count out. And that's impossible because Darren Young broke the count when he rolled outside.
Yeah.
These are standard rules in wrestling that we followed forever.
Mm-hmm.
Why now change them?
So every once in a while you'll see someone be like, WWE should release a physical rule book. Like this is, you know,
No.
Like I think that would be interesting. But that would also mean that WWE has to acknowledge that their rules are there for a reason, and they can't do that.
Allie, what'd you think about your boys, Enzo Amore and Big Cass?
I mean,
this is me putting her on the spot.
Why?
It's never a good reaction. Because you were the biggest Enzo and Cass fan amongst us. I'm not sure why. Other than I think you think Big Cass is sexy, and he is.
I
assume you like Adam Sandler.
Answer the question that he asked you.
Before I take this size 13 and put it upside your head.
I just enjoy...
You enjoy the chicken dance.
He's so hyper and full of energy.
He doesn't get hype. He stays hype.
He's colorful like a peacock. Like a rooster.
I will say I genuinely loved whenever it was him and Gallows and Anderson in the ring, when it was Enzo and Gallows and Anderson, and he did the, like... You even said that you're like, I'm worried I'm going to date myself here, but does anyone else remind... Does Enzo remind anyone else of the Chicken Hawk?
The Chicken Hawk, the little chicken from Looney Tunes.
And literally 10 seconds later, he does the big puffs out his chest, like bows out to Gallows and Anderson. And it was
great because they did a really good job of showing that he's smaller, but he's smart. Because when he was in there, I think it was with Gallows and Anderson, right? Maybe right after that, the crowd was, you know, getting all amped up because here's Enzo's going to have to fight both of them. And then he immediately took out, I don't remember if it was Gallows or Anderson, but he kind of outsmarted them and knocked them out and then just kind of shrugged and looked at the other one like, let's fight. And it was an awesome moment. That's a big look. They're doing something with Enzo because you know they're going to push Cash to the moon.
And they, both
should
these
they?
Guys, like, well, yeah, I don't have.
He's big.
He's good.
He's not the best.
Yeah.
That no one
ever a lot of people aren't. If they were going with who was the best, the history of WWE would be wildly different.
I don't know. You don't think Big Cass is one of those Vince McMahon, I love big guys things?
No.
You think he's better than
Ryback?
Yeah.
He's better than Khali.
Well,
he's better than...
Come on. That, the statue of Andre the Giant's better than Khali. It moves around easier, too.
He's legitimately good. Like, he has room to improve, but he has been consistently.
Did you like him when they took Enzo away? Well, they didn't take Enzo away. When Enzo was hurt, Big Cass was doing his own thing.
Yes, I did. Like, no, he's not as smooth on the microphone as Enzo. No, he's not as smooth on the microphone as a lot of the guys that are up there. But he's still really new, and he held his own. You know, yeah, it kind of seems like he's really trying to memorize. Like, the difference between him and Enzo is Enzo, I don't think, knows
script.
What he's going to say until that music hits.
Right.
And then he just goes.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Cass does have lines that he's trying to, it looks like he's focusing, but that doesn't mean he's always going to be like that. And it also doesn't mean he's bad. It's just whenever you're comparing him to Smack Talker Skywalker, you're gonna come up short no matter who you are.
Who do you push harder? If they split off? Enzo or Cass?
Yes.
No. You gotta pick one.
Honestly, like Cass, just because it's the whole like Rey Mysterio thing. People complained about Rey Mysterio not being believable in going up against the bigger guys. And I think that argument is garbage. But if people are going to hold it, it's going to be the same thing with Enzo.
Sam, perception is reality.
Yeah, which is silly because it's pro wrestling and, you know.
Also
you
the
have,
argument
you
of
have
the
Enzo being,
Republican National... What?
You have Enzo just being smart like he was against Gallows and Anderson.
Right.
And, you know, but...
Maybe when Vince dies.
I think they both have... Like, one, I don't want them to ever break up because Cass using him as a weapon is fantastic.
Didn't John Cena almost try and do that? Or
no, he threw John Cena. Or no, that was the joke we were gonna make. Cause, he threw Enzo onto, Gallows and Anderson. Then he threw AJ onto all of them.
Yeah.
And then Cena was in the ring and I was like, okay, Cena, your turn. He didn't though.
I like how Cena just basically stood on the apron for most of the match watching, just like he was shocked by the things he was seeing.
And he did that before, like, even on Raw, like, they talked about where even, like, in the middle of it was just like, you guys need to, like, pay attention. Like, this is history we're watching right now. Like, no one is this good. No one is as good as Enzo right now. Like, this is insane.
Best promo guy in WWE right now, I believe. And I can't think of anyone better. I really can't.
And this is in a golden age of people who are able to cut promos, too. Like, there's a lot of real strong personalities out there.
Yeah.
With guys like all three of the New Day. Paul Heyman is around this time period, so I'm gonna lump him in as well.
Sure.
Miz. The Miz
is good.
Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins both bring completely different things to the table, but I would say for what they do well. As much as we hate her, both of the McMahons,
She is good. And I think part of the reason we hate her is because she's good.
Is because of how good she is. It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I hate your character, but I also like, it's hard. It's one of those things where it's hard to draw the difference between.
The reason I hate your character is because you're good at your character.
There was a guy that came into GameStop years ago when I used to watch wrestling. And, he asked me, we were talking about wrestling, and he said he hated, I'm not going to use the language he used because it was very off color, but he said he'd hated Rico, hated him so much and called him a couple gay terms. And I told him, I said, you know, wrestling is scripted, right? The reason you hate Rico is because you're supposed to hate Rico. So you're just doing what they want you to
dance,
do.
Dance, puppet, dance.
Right? Yeah. It's the old CM Punk of hook, line, and sinker. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Reel you in. How about Bayley as the surprise tag team partner? Now, it's important to notice, this was a one-time thing.
Yeah,
she's still in NXT.
Bayley's not going to be drafted up, or she wasn't drafted.
Right.
Carmella and Mojo Rawley were drafted. Not bitter.
Stop
it's fine.
It. Stop it.
But this was just a one-off. Bayley showed up to help Sasha, which this is, I actually kind of have a little bit of a problem with it.
Why?
Because it's one of those things where you, and I'm kind of surprised you don't have more of a problem with it, or maybe you do, you just haven't noticed it. Cause people always complain about the real life politics and things happening on screen.
Yeah.
I've
mentioned that a couple times with like Nikki Bella and Paige when they were feuding, and Paige would call out that Nikki Bella was an awful wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not even stuff like that. What I mean is, so Sasha Banks and Bayley had this really heated, and really the entire NXT women's division, especially this class that's up right now with the four horsewomen.
Yeah.
Natalya, Paige, you know, it's one of those things where they very clearly have such a love and respect for each other. They're a very tight group of friends. It's very click-ish. But to see Sasha and Bayley, who supposedly were bitter rivals in NXT, while there was a mutual respect and, you know, they did the hug send off at the end, like that's very nice to see and it's touching. For that to not kind of carry over just because Sasha's a face is a little bit irksome. Same thing with on Monday when Sasha Banks beat Charlotte for the WWE
Spoiler
Women's
alert,
Champion.
We're going to congratulate her later.
I know. But when Charlotte was, when they showed Charlotte leaving the ring and she kind of had a smile on her face.
Like, I didn't see that. I must have missed that part.
Yeah. You know, clearly the performers are proud of each other, and they should be, because they are putting on fantastic matches. They are getting a chance to really, like, to revolutionize women's wrestling for WWE. They are, and that's great.
Now,
but how much do you want to show that?
You have a problem with this.
No, and it's not even really a problem. It's just, it's, to me, it's weird. It kind of throws off some of the.
But that's weird to you, but you guys, and maybe I'm wrong and you never defended it. So if I'm wrong, please let me know and I apologize.
You're wrong. I hate you.
But you guys defend things like the Young Bucks wrestling kids or a guy getting his penis grabbed and using it as a weapon. That is okay, but this is what bothers you. That's like, what's going on?
Because whenever they are wrestling children, it's presented in a way that it's over the top and believable. It's not telling two stories. The problem I have with this is it's telling two stories. It's telling the story of Charlotte and Sasha hate each other. Charlotte's doing anything she can to keep this title that she values over everything else, over her own father. But when she loses it, well, I'm proud of her.
You see, I didn't see that, and that part I agree with you on. I don't.
That's
the Young Bucks aside.
It's telling contradictory stories versus, no one believes that Kenny Omega is going to lose to a 9-year-old.
He almost did, though. That chick was tough.
It went to time.
It did.
So no one believed that he was actually going to, like, he would put up a fight against a child. But at the same time, like, the way they presented it was like, okay, this is what's happening. This is the suspension of disbelief. Right. I have a wider margin for a suspension of disbelief.
I'm old.
But it's telling one story.
I get what you're saying. And I don't like that Charlotte smiled when she lost to Sasha, unless there's a reason for it. Like, if they come out that she knew there was a clause, she knew that she would get one up on Sasha, even though she had lost, maybe. But from a storyline perspective, there's no reason that Charlotte, who is so obsessed with the title, should ever smile when she loses. Because,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
But Bayley doesn't bother me as much, because there was that moment of mutual respect when she left, and they haven't feuded since.
Yeah.
So the last time you saw Bayley and Sasha together on TV, as far as I know, was them hugging, raising each other's hands, going, you know, this is the new champion, congratulations. So I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with the Sasha-Charlotte thing.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
And then, like I said, that's not even, especially the Bayley-Sasha thing is not nearly as big as the Charlotte thing, but But you have, like, I will say, Sasha's enthusiasm and her, like, genuine, like, she could not hide it. Like, yeah. Before Bailey, her music hit, before any of that.
She was smiling big.
She had the biggest smile. Like,
and it's the prettiest smile. Really she's so cute.
Well, Sasha's ratchet.
No, she's not.
Sasha's ratchet.
No, she's not.
I miss those chants.
I never get tired of that. yeah, she was beaming ear to ear.
Yeah.
It was so nice to see.
And honestly, like, I'm so happy Bailey got the reaction she did.
Well, I was going
to
ask
because
you,
that crowd knew not only knew who she was, but loved her and was so happy to see her.
And isn't it amazing that Bailey can get over with a crowd and her gimmick is that she's nice and likes to hug? Like, seriously, like, when they present every woman in WWE as
catty yeah.
and we're women, so we, you know, round claws are out, and then Bailey is probably the most popular one other than Sasha, just for being nice.
Yeah, it's...
You know?
Well, and I honestly, like, I have to say, too, it's kind of like the, like, No Way Jose, which I do want to talk about.
We got time, baby.
Do we? We haven't even gotten to Raw. I think people would be a lot less forgiving over that kind of silliness, in quotes. Like, I don't perceive it as silly. But if she wasn't such a great wrestler, I think that's part of the reason that the fans love her so much is because she can do some serious work.
I mean, her character is that she's nice and she hugs, but there's also a huge part of her character is integrity.
Yeah.
And that is especially... with a lot of this generation viewing integrity and honesty and being real, that is something people are going to find valuable and really respect.
Plus, I think that it's the old adage of, if you're having fun doing it, we're having fun watching it.
Right. Yeah.
You see people like No Way Jose, who looks like he's having a blast out there.
Oh, yeah.
Bailey and Sasha at the event, they looked like they were having fun. Like, they wanted to do this.
Yeah.
As opposed to some of the wrestlers who go out there and try to emulate that feeling, but you can tell it's not genuine. And when it's not genuine, people are less, like, look at Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
When Roman Reigns portrays more akin to himself, I think the crowd...
The silent ass kicker.
Yeah, the crowd's into it.
Yes.
But when they force him to it's terrible.
Yeah.
And he has so much damage done to his character now because of it. They've been lucky that Bailey is kind of like, I don't want to say a modern day Dusty Rhodes, which is ironic because Dusty Rhodes was such an influence on the NXT, especially the women's division in the NXT. Yeah. But she's got that gimmick that if you put it down on paper in wrestling, gimmick, girl who likes to hug and smiles all the time, you would go, uh-oh, this ain't going nowhere. But she's turned it into something spectacular.
Yeah.
It's, like you said, lightning in a bottle. You can't emulate that. It just happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And when it happens, you take it and you push it and you go, hey, look at this. Do you think it's a bad idea, with that said, that they are not bringing Bailey up to the main roster, that they're keeping her on NXT? Because she got the monster reaction.
Yes.
Why not push her?
Yes and no. Part of it is I think they still clearly have big plans for Sasha Banks. And while I think the logic is she's still needed in NXT. I think she's going to be the foundation of the new women's division.
Oh, because, Asuka's still there though.
Well, and that's what I mean. So but Nia Jax isn't, Sasha,
Bliss.
Becky, Charlotte, Bliss,
Carmella,
they're all gone. Those were the cornerstones. And now you're down to Asuka and Bayley.
And so the other random women that we've seen, but don't really know anything about.
Santana and Billie Kay. Had a match tonight on NXT. And it's like one of those things where it's like you're seeing one wrestle the other and not them versus one of the four horsewomen.
Right.
And it's like, oh, these are okay. These are the ones we have to get behind now.
It's rebuilding phase.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's the same reason that they didn't pull. We said it last week. Why would you not pick Shinsuke Nakamura? Why would you not pick Samoa Joe? Why would you not pick Austin Aries? The reason is because they did pull Balor.
Mm-hmm.
They did pull a couple big names. And
well,
okay, they pulled Balor.
they pulled Balor, American Alpha, and Jax.
And Mojo. Mojo Raleigh. Hype Bros.
Uh-huh.
but think of how many other NXT people left in the past year. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, all these big names that went up to the main roster. So they got to keep some people around that are already known to bring in the newer people. The Cruiserweight Classic is a big example of the newer guys they're bringing in, and they're going to do fantastic. You say Kota Ibushi wrestled tonight.
Had a match on NXT.
Yeah. And he's going to do great on NXT and probably in the main roster later. I hope he sticks
around.
If he
signs.
Yes, I'm saying if he sticks around, like, I really hope he does. Because when I saw him wrestle last week, it was so good. And we're actually going to talk about the Cruiserweight Classic next. So let's wrap this up with one last little discussion.
I have so much stuff I want to talk about Battleground still.
Really?
Yeah.
Which thing?
We talked about the Wyatts. I want to talk about Randy Orton making his re-debut. God. And this is why I want to talk about it. I've always liked Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Orton is a guy who, when he's interested, you get the Legend Killer. You get voices, the sociopath kissing, an unconscious Stephanie McMahon.
He plays a low-key character very well.
Great.
He's Kevin Spacey in the Usual Suspects.
And when he's interested, he's amazing.
Right.
I love Randy Orton.
Yes.
When he's bored, you can tell. But even Randy Orton at his most bored, you're getting the weekly matches with Sheamus, which were still good matches. But it's just, you can tell there's the fire's missing.
Done to death. Yeah.
Him coming out and doing one in pants.
That was unusual.
Historical.
You mentioned that.
Yes.
You mentioned that during the show.
Because it's Randy Orton.
Yeah.
He only wears, I'm pretty sure he goes to the grocery store in his wrestling tights.
Yeah. Well, so would I if I look like that.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Also, looked,
what's a shirt?
Yeah, looked,
he did.
When he did that pose, like, it's just like,
We questioned
large.
His enhancements, but
which did you? That's the that was the line that we missed, and that's the main thing I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I read about that a little bit later. Go ahead and
but
you tell them the line.
So he comes up and he's showing this personality that we haven't seen since he did the splits after the RKO.
Oh, God.
Like, and then he did the same thing on Monday, and I didn't watch Raw, but I did watch that segment, with the Miz, and or not Monday, SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm into it. Super over the top, like.
Are you into him beating the Miz?
Yeah.
You okay
no,
with
I
that?
Mean, I wish Miz wasn't the Intercontinental Champion. Like, if Miz didn't have that championship, I would be 100% perfectly okay with it. But first match back, you're already beating the secondary champion on your show. Like,
right.
I always hate when the champions lose non-title matches for no
too.
Reason.
I hate the, because you don't have to bury the champion to do that.
No.
Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley are right there.
I read, exactly.
At the same time. Why not?
Yeah, might
screw
as well.
Screw them.
It's not like they have a championship to go for. The thing that I loved about Orton, and I didn't realize it until I read it on Reddit, and they're like, he's kind of doing a parody of a babyface in his own way. Like, he's so over the top. And just
like Jericho when he came back as a heel,
little bit, but I think he's doing it sincerely. So I don't. That doesn't make sense. There's just something about it that I'm into. Like,
it's different.
I want to see what it goes.
I've never seen this Randy Orton before. He's never joked around that much,
right?
And you will admit though that the segment on Battleground went way too long.
Yeah,
way too long.
Yeah.
Eventually, it felt like pulling teeth. And you said when you see Orton is bored, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Jericho was bored.
I don't, because he laughed. Like, he actually laughed at the, and so the thing
he
that,
looks so tired. He looks so
he
tired.
He always does, and that's why he has to carry his hand like that now. I love this Jericho too. Like, that's a like, I know we've seen it before, but this is a Jericho Orton feud that I would be able to get behind.
Except you're not, because
right.
It's not going to be one.
Yeah, I know.
They're
so,
going to feed Orton to Lesnar, or are they at this point?
Yeah, because that, I mean, they've already announced that Lesnar's not going to be suspended by WWE. For failing the USADA test, which starts poking all sorts of holes, and even though they just suspended Roman Reigns, that wellness policy is questionable.
To be fair, Lesnar hasn't wrestled in a ring in months, so we wash our hands clean of it.
Yeah,
that's pretty ridiculous, isn't it?
But he does. But he did give the no enhancements needed line
to Viperville.
I was going to pass that one up.
No,
not going to let me.
And I think I said that's the worst town in Animal Crossing is Viperville. I don't think I used the term worse, though. I probably said something more offensive. I'm not going to repeat that here.
But yeah, no. So I actually really enjoyed that segment. I'm enjoying a fun Orton. It looks like he missed wrestling. He missed being there.
I'm sure he did. I'm not a huge fan of him. I usually find him boring. I really do. I find him boring. I don't know why.
I think it's his style. I think because his style is methodical. He doesn't do the super flashy. But it makes sense because especially now the way that they're, you know, really building up the RKO as the thing that could bring down the beast. Whenever his match, especially as a heel, where he's keeping people grounded, he's working a slower, methodical style, and then that sudden just burst of RKO out of nowhere.
What is your favorite wrestling style? Well, I know that's a weird question. Let me explain a little bit better. Like, what wrestler do you actually, you enjoy his in-ring work the most? Like, you, not just because he's good, but the style that he uses.
This isn't my correct answer, but it's the one that comes to mind immediately. Yeah, just off the cuff. Owens.
Kevin Owens?
Because it's brawler, but it's also vocal. And I
old school trash talking.
Kevin Owens just talking the entire time.
For me, it's
he's kicking your ass and he's telling you how you suck, why you suck.
Kevin Owens speaking about anything is just
it's Lesnar for me. It's absolutely Lesnar.
You know, you're not starting to get bored with the Suplex City?
I'm a little bored of the suplexes, and I'm talking more of Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, especially before Suplex City became a thing, and then his match against Reigns at WrestleMania. That smash mouth, knees to the chest, like that UFC style of wrestling. I love watching that because that's one of those things that you think, okay, so he's really hurting them now, right? Like that, like, oh my God, who takes a knee like that and gets right back up? Lesnar, when Lesnar's not bored, he's a joy to watch. Allie, I want you to answer this question too. Who do you like to see wrestle? Kirby?
I don't think he didn't get drafted. Him and Heath Slater.
Oh. And then Kirby sucked up Heath Slater.
Became a rock star. Yeah. He became Elias Sampson.
I don't know. I don't have an answer for this.
Newbies. Ruined your chance.
And then the other thing from Battleground that we have to talk about is the Shield Triple Threat.
Yeah.
Finally happened. With the great match.
It was a fantastic match. I thought Roman Reigns looked so good.
Everyone did.
Yeah.
It told, you know, when they kind of traded their signature moves with the Superman punch into Orton or Ambrose's rebound, like it's.
And all three of them got laid out, if I remember correctly. They're just laying in the ring after that and the great
crowd,
sequence.
And the crowd was, you know, going nuts.
The boos for Roman Reigns were the loudest.
For his entrance, which we were wrong because we assumed he was going to come out last.
I did.
This is really the nail, and I feel like this is the whole, okay, Vince is pissed because not only did Roman Reigns not win, which you were concerned would happen and the show wouldn't be happening if he had.
If you're listening to me right now, that means that Roman Reigns lost at the pay-per-view.
And not only did he lose, he's the one that took the pin.
He ate the pin.
Dirty deeds and ate the pins.
And if you didn't think, if you thought maybe, oh, but that's a fluke, well, then on Raw the next night, he ate the pin again against Finn Balor. Who's now going to SummerSlam to fight for the, we'll get to it in a second.
Yeah. So,
I want to save that one.
Yeah, we need
for
to.
For the last 20 minutes of the show.
And then I told you. And then also we really, like, I want to say again, go out, if you didn't watch Battleground, go out of your way to watch Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
You know what? Actually, watch Battleground. It was a good pay-per-view altogether. Except Natalya beat Becky Lynch. I have a problem with that.
Especially because on SmackDown when Becky Lynch beat Natalya. It's the Parks and Rec joke, man. There's only two teams. They're gonna develop a great rivalry. But yeah, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens. I really think that that match would have more impact if they weren't on the same show. So I'm really bummed that they are both.
It needed to be the blow off match, and it needed to be the last time they see each other.
Yeah, they need to just be. That would have made.
Because why wouldn't Kevin Owens just go back for revenge again?
Yeah, it's. I don't get it.
Especially though, go watch the Sami Zayn match and then the Shield Triple Threat.
Yeah.
It was great.
Now we're moving into Raw.
Yeah.
And Raw and SmackDown. This is where I want to kind of go off on a little rant. I hate the draft. The draft is stupid. There is no point to this. If you are that serious about wanting to revitalize Raw and SmackDown with new commentary teams, new stages, new themes, new logos, new ring ropes, new everything, do it. You can do that. You can have Shane run SmackDown and Stephanie run Raw and them still try to one-up each other on each show without splitting the roster. You can have all of the, like, okay, we're going to shake it up. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Like, okay, Monday gets the Cruiserweights. Well, if you want to watch the women's division, then you have to tune in on SmackDown. You can do that. You can, but you still can use the same talents.
Here's why I disagree with you. I disagree with you on this. Even though I didn't like the way the draft went because some of it was nonsensical, but if done right, and that's the big if, a brand split I think is a great idea because now you don't have to see the same talent twice a week. Let's say you have a feud between some guys. You've got two shows per week And I know you're going to say, well, you could do that anyway without a brand split. You could just have certain guys be on certain shows.
You have 5 hours of television.
You can do that. But I feel like a brand split almost forces them. Now you know you're not going to see Roman Reigns on Tuesday night. You're only going to see him on Monday. You're never going to see Dean Ambrose on Monday, only on Tuesday. If done right, it really is like having two separate federations.
But then you get SmackDown, who you have people having to pull double duty, and almost all of your superstars are in one battle royal.
That is because SmackDown got the shaft when it came to the draft.
Because they didn't do it right.
Well, no, like I said, the draft itself was terrible, but the brand split, maybe that's what I'm trying to say. I think the brand split's a good idea.
I don't like the brand split because it's all still WWE.
What is?
It's, you know, you want to push the new era, you can absolutely push the new era. Look, new commentary teams, new, all of these great, and Raw looked, from what I saw, Raw looked great. SmackDown looked great. Corey Graves on Raw commentary with Saxton and Cole.
They moved the announce team.
Yeah, they moved the announce table, which.
Like WCW style, mm-hmm. which I thought was pretty
and
cool.
And even whenever when it was a Lawler, or not Lawler, yeah, Lawler, JR and Coach.
Yeah, they did the same thing. They moved them up there. On the ramp. I think it's a good idea. You can make it work.
I mean,
but they can't.
They can't.
Won't. We could.
No, I wouldn't because I would. Yeah, no, I would not do that.
Allie, would you?
Okay.
I just think you're needlessly limiting yourself, which
yes,
if you don't know how to fill 5 hours plus main event and superstars with competitive matches and storytelling, then that's a bigger issue.
Well,
just cutting the roster and being like, okay, yeah, well, now we only have this many things we have to worry about. It'll be better.
The big issue for me is that you kind of hit the nail on the head there, is if you can't fill a 3-hour Raw with fresh content with an entire roster, how can you fill it with half a roster?
Because look what they had to resort to with Golden Truth,
but
wandering around backstage in 4 different segments looking for Pokemon.
But for one, and by the way, Pokemon Go is one of the most popular acts on Raw now. Thank you. They've already.
Woods is Team Balor.
Dixie Carter's already booked them to be TNA champion within a year.
If she can get the rights to it.
But Raw,
they might get Bakugan.
Oh my God, Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah. From what I understand, Raw was absolutely fantastic this week. I only saw a couple segments from it. The segments I saw were great, including, we said it earlier, Sasha Banks won the title.
Yeah.
And even though Allie was right in thinking it's weird that they would have the title switch hands on Raw and not the pay-per-view or a pay-per-view, it also kind of makes it fresh. It makes it like, well, you got to watch Raw and see what happens. And Raw was a great show. I hear SmackDown was terrible. I haven't seen any of SmackDown.
I don't know. I think I'm more excited.
You're excited because they're pushing the new blood. Look who you got going for the titles at SummerSlam. On SmackDown, yeah. Dolph Ziggler won a tournament or a battle royal.
Well, there was a six pack. It was a 6-pack challenge, so 6-way match for the number one contendership, with the 6th person being determined in a battle royal that Apollo Crews won.
Right.
So it was which, look at the names in that 6-pack: John Cena, AJ Styles, Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler, and Zack Ryder.
Are you sure?
Yep. Because apparently Zack Ryder botched a lot.
At this point, why would he even care?
But yeah, so that was the 6-pack to challenge Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship. Dolph Ziggler won the match, and I really, really hope this isn't just another false flag.
It is.
I really hope this is a multiple, like, Dolph Ziggler versus Dean Ambrose, I think, could be a huge story, and I really don't want it to just be a one-off championship match at SummerSlam.
Okay, now, remember before you were cynical and I was hopeful?
Mm-hmm.
Now I see a glimmer of hope in your eye, and it needs to die.
I know it's not going to happen.
Okay.
This is what I want to happen.
Cody, kill the hope, because Dolph Ziggler will absolutely not win the title.
And I don't
He will absolutely get pushed back to Baron Corbin within a few weeks. And then probably the next guy to go after Ambrose will be AJ Styles. He'll lose. Eventually, you're going to lead up to either Orton or Cena taking the title.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And whether that means Ambrose turns heel or they do the respect thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen.
And I don't want Ambrose. I want Ziggler to go back to being heel. That's what I want to happen.
I feel like I could say that and go, that's what's going to happen. Guaranteed, because it's so predictable. But things have happened in the past week that I did not see coming.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think that Ambrose was going to walk out of Battleground the champion.
No.
I didn't. I didn't think that necessarily Roman Reigns would win it, but I thought there was no way in hell he was going to beat both of them, because Ambrose has been, since day one, has been shown to be the weakest of the three from their perspective, that they, the story they're telling you, that Ambrose is the weakest of the three. There's no way that he's going to win. But not only did he beat Seth Rollins clean on SmackDown, he then beat Roman Reigns and Rollins at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So at this point, you got to be thinking, well, damn, son, they're going to,
they're actually, they believe in this guy because they should, because look at him.
But they won't.
And then on,
they won't. They're just setting up for a bigger fall.
And then on Raw.
Finn, all right. So they did the two,
Fatal four ways.
Two fatal four ways. Roman Reigns won one and, Finn Balor won the other.
Yep.
And I did not read those results yet. I just read up to there. And then when they said Finn Balor was going to fight Roman Reigns, I thought, oh, good.
Yeah.
And then Finn Balor won.
Clean with a coup de grace.
Now, is this just a byproduct of Roman Reigns' wellness suspension? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Because if that not, well, if that didn't happen, he would be champion right
now. More than likely.
Right. And what champion would he be?
The WWE heavyweight champion.
Allie, what's the name of the championship? I want to hear you say it.
Why?
Say it.
Why are you so angry?
Because it makes me stupid. Angry. So they have dubbed.
So they're going. Yeah, they're doing it. They're doing a world champion on Raw.
Well, before we get to that, just real quick, we only have 10 minutes left. This is probably going to be 10 minutes. The Cruiserweight Classic was fantastic tonight.
Yes.
Of Raul, what was his name?
I don't remember.
God, I forget already. It's the guy that fought the Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
Mendoza, Raul Mendoza. Looked amazing, by the way. I think he's going to be great. I hope he sticks around. But I'm so happy the Brian Kendrick won.
Especially after that 2 minute, the extended cut his intro video.
It was so heart-wrenching. It was so genuine.
Absolutely.
But it was great. Go watch it. It was fantastic. We're almost to the second round. I think they have one more next week.
Three out of four is the first round are done.
And
including Gargano and Ciampa, which I am so mad as a first round.
This tournament's been amazing.
Best thing WWE's been putting out.
Can't wait to watch it. TNA's moving to Thursday nights.
This past Thursday was their final, Thursday, because they will no longer be trying to compete. They're not going to try to compete with SmackDown Live.
Good. They shouldn't.
No, absolutely.
If they want to stay alive, they shouldn't.
Yeah. So good call there. Rapid fire news. Paul Heyman's contract is officially expired.
Yes.
With WWE. They are working on a new deal.
I'm sure he'll show up for SummerSlam.
That's what they're hoping for, is to be able to get him at SummerSlam.
But to be honest, right now, is he needed? He's really not. If all that's going to happen,
I will never say that Paul Heyman is not needed.
Well, I was going to say,
I will not.
If it's just Lesnar's going to come out and fight, you really don't need Heyman there. But apparently Lesnar is coming back to Raw next week.
Then yes, Paul Heyman should
then
be
Paul
there.
Heyman's Paul definitely
Heyman
necessary.
Really needs to be there.
Yeah.
And then the thing that I really, and then oh yeah, no, that was it. But the thing I really wanted to talk about from NXT tonight, which was a pretty solid episode, kind of reset.
Hurry, I'm holding on to my rage, but it's shaking. Go.
I know. No Way Jose. This will loosen it up a little bit. When he first debuted, we both liked him. All three of us liked him.
Because we didn't know what the hell we were.
He had the catchy music, and we're like, this is crazy.
It was Krusty the Clown.
He was just having fun.
It showed me, and I had a cigar, and I was like, what the hell was that?
He's having a good time, Michael. Yeah. But we enjoyed it. That music was fun. He was out there, it's a guy who is enjoying what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he finally stopped beating nobodies, and looks like he's going into this feud with Austin Aries. Which is great. Austin Aries did that great turn where he just beat the crap out of him. Last week on NXT, Aries had a match and No Way Jose came out and attacked him and showed believable, real rage.
Yeah.
Like, he was angry. He was so mad his hair was vibrating. Like, it was...
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was like, oh, wow, that's a really cool, like, he's not just, you know, happy-go-lucky party guy.
Right.
This week after his match, which I think is important because I've always had more respect for guys who will do promos after a match.
Yeah.
Because that's, to me, that's just impressive. You just did like...
You just wore yourself out. Now you're going to talk.
And now you're going to talk.
Yeah.
He cut a great promo. It was serious. It was believable. He was angry. He explained that all he tried to do was show Aries kind of the lighter side, how to have fun, because that's what he loves to do. But don't think for a second that I won't turn this fiesta into a beatdown. Go out of your way and watch this, because especially Dalton, because I know Dalton hates him. Like, he doesn't like, no, because it's goofy. It's that dancey. Like, and I understand why you wouldn't like it.
But Dalton is goofy.
But I was like, out of all the people, Dalton.
I mean, yeah, okay. So, but I understand it. I understand being apprehensive about it, because it's like, this is something that, like, this is a one note character. It's never going to work on the big stage. This promo has completely sold me. No Way Jose could be a legit contender in WWE.
Again,
saying that, like, as bitter and cynical as I am, he gives me hope. I have had a terrible 3 days. Just no. this legitimately like made me step aside and be like, okay, no, there's something here that is way more than just, you know, fun dancing and so good.
It again blows my mind that Dalton would have a problem with No Way Jose because he's non-believable and he's having fun and he's goofy. And Dalton is one of the biggest fans of people grabbing Joey Ryan's penis or and the Young Bucks flipping. Fighting children.
Yeah.
Like, that blows my mind that he's so selective about what he finds ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Does that really blow your mind though?
Shocked. Shocked. Well, not that shocked.
Actually, it's quite believable.
So Shannon. What's the, oh, and on NXT, the official announcement by William Regal that, Samoa Joe will defend his NXT championship. His NXT championship. Yeah. Great name for a championship.
It's the name of the brand.
Against Shinsuke Nakamura for, at the next, TakeOver Brooklyn.
All right. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of want to do a bit where I get really mad and scream and yell and curse about this, but I'm going to be a professional. And instead of going the route of the entertainment side, I'm just going to be real. And they have named.
100.
No, this isn't a bit. This they have dubbed the Raw Championship the Universal Championship. And I'm not going to scream and cuss and go off on a Zach Price style rant and try to be entertaining. It's the dumbest thing I've heard because the hope is that they treat Raw and SmackDown as equals. Because why wouldn't you? If you're trying to make money, you want to promote each as equal and important. That's the mistake WCW made when they brought the NWO in, was they made the NWO look like $1 billion and WCW was suddenly uncool. You forget though that WCW is the name of the brand. So when Scott Hall comes out and says WCW sucks, don't watch it, we're the NWO, we're cool. Yeah, you are. You're on WCW TV.
But if we're going to watch you, we have to watch WCW.
So why? What is the thought process of naming the belt for Raw the Universal Championship?
Because it's for you, the fans, the WWE Universe.
Sure.
You're champions of our hearts.
Sure, if that's your excuse. But why
and
don't
if
you...
Finn Balor's the first one to win it, okay.
No, it's great.
You're right. Like,
no, it's great. Who better than a demon to defend against the universe? Like Hunter said the other day, I don't see any aliens around here challenging for the title, so clearly he must be the strongest. But why would you name that other than to, once again, upstage SmackDown, which has the world championship, by calling it the Universal Championship? This is Springfield versus Shelbyville all over again. And it frustrates me because I don't want to believe that they're going to screw it up and the past is going to repeat itself, but they absolutely are. SmackDown already tanked this week. I had an idea for a segment, which was better, SmackDown or Raw, where we would decide every week. Well, it's a no-brainer because they put all of their effort into Raw and made it look like $1 billion. SmackDown, from what I understand, was bad,
I don't know what, like, because I read the results, I didn't watch it, but I didn't see anything that SmackDown was bad.
Well, like,
just
one of
that kind of I know JBL apparently heard it a lot, and then the matches weren't the best.
Well, and not only that, but then you had like the women's segment where all of the new divas or whatever they're called,
oh,
now,
yeah,
where they came out and everyone talked and Carmella came out and no one chanted along with her because no one knows who Carmella is. She's not Enzo and Cass. She doesn't have the name recognition that they do.
Yeah.
And everything just felt flat compared to Raw.
We're getting Rhino's back.
And I'm excited about that. And Shelton Benjamin. I know you weren't too, like, you're not as excited as I am.
No.
I'm a huge Shelton Benjamin fan.
This was the thing that we were supposed to talk about that we never got to. I'm more excited about Dolph Ziggler getting a world championship match than Shelton Benjamin coming back.
I should
because
be.
Because I think Dolph Ziggler is better than Shelton Benjamin.
Oh, that's right. Oh, we only have a couple minutes.
Well, and so before we get into, go a little long. Cause this is the reason that I also hate the brand split. You know, if you're gonna revamp Raw and SmackDown, you know what you don't have to do?
What's
if
that?
You don't split the brand?
What's that?
Create a new fictional, stupid, meaningless championship.
Like the Universal Championship?
Yes.
Which is better than the World Championship.
And now if Raw,
because it's the universe.
If Raw is getting the Universal Championship, why can't SmackDown get the Galactic Tag Team Championship?
I was just about to say.
Why can't they get the Interstellar Women's Championship?
Yeah.
Because they have tag team and women's divisions on SmackDown, but they don't have a title to fight for, so what's the point? If you and I were on SmackDown as a tag team, we get drafted.
What's our incentive?
Other than to continue just to, hey, like, why couldn't we just be friends on the roster and go for the Intercontinental Championship?
Right.
What is our incentive for being a tag team?
There's none.
Why would you draft the best tag team in NXT? Those are your words, Shane McMahon. to a show that doesn't have a championship for them to go after. In an arena that you determine who is the best by winning championships.
Yeah.
Why? No. You know why you know when you don't have to do that? If you don't split the brand.
Here's my thought process of Battleground. I thought they were going to have Raw win every title or SmackDown win every title. And then that would force the other brand to go, okay, we have no titles. We're going to create our own. That didn't happen. Instead, they just created this awful, god awful, stupid. I don't care what Cody and Dalton or any of them say. It's the worst name for a championship I've ever heard.
It's
a slap in the face to SmackDown.
To me, it's the butterfly. It's the word version of the butterfly belt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, it's just insulting.
You really, world heavyweight champion, WWE champion. Okay, that has some weight behind it. That has a legitimacy there. I'm the universal champion. Yeah, okay, you can buy a doctorate of the universe for like $50, so you can legally call yourself a doctor. Cool. It just sounds like what you did.
It's terrible.
And if you don't split the brand, you can keep all your champions, just everyone vying for the same prize. And to me, it devalues the WWE championship. And there's no, like, it's the same thing when they did the big gold belt in SmackDown. Clearly the SmackDown one was the lesser.
Which it is now, because it's a world title compared to a universal title.
But it's the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
The guy that wins at SummerSlam will basically be He-Man.
Balor has the power.
He-Balor. Balor Man.
I do want to take a second and point out that the main events for SummerSlam are Randy Orton versus Brock Lesnar. Okay,
better be third tier. That better be third tier. If they put the two title matches you below know what gonna, that. Oh.
Do you remember the last brand split at all when they had two world championships and the SmackDown one was the opener?
I do.
Every single pay-per-view?
I also remember when CM Punk won the title and he was always third or fourth on the card.
Yep.
God bless you, Vince. God bless you. But you know one good thing he did do? He brought back Shelton Benjamin.
He's not as good as Dolph Ziggler.
I don't understand you.
In that ring, on the microphone. If Shelton Benjamin was so good, how come he's wrestling in front of like 40 people in high school gyms when Dolph Ziggler is going out there and stealing the show and your girl every single time?
I don't recall Shelton Benjamin ever being a caddy to Chavo Guerrero.
No, but he was Kurt Angle's little...
A little what?
I was going to say a bad word.
Oh.
It starts with a B.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say a different bad word.
No, not you.
Oh. Well, here's the thing with Shelton Benjamin. Shelton Benjamin.
No, and I love Shelton Benjamin. I really do. I'm not taking anything away from Shelton Benjamin, but I am legitimately more excited to see Dolph Ziggler get a championship match, even though there's no hope in hell that he'll win.
Let me explain why.
Then Shelton Benjamin coming in to be an enhancement talent, which is what we've heard all of these guys are going to be, that are like Jinder Mahal might be coming back.
I read that. Oh my God. Jinder Mahal.
I have no problem with that. I liked him.
I liked him too.
I liked him when he was the pompous, like, Prince of India.
Yeah. When he was basically like the Million Dollar Man.
Yeah.
You know, but you always find the truth, not the golden truth. You always find the truth of how I feel. And you just said it perfectly right there. Even though we're arguing over who's excited about what more, neither of us should be excited, because Shelton Benjamin will come in to lose, which is a shame because he is one of the best underappreciated talents WWE has ever had. A solid wrestler.
Oh yeah, he's someone that they absolutely dropped the ball with.
Completely. He beat Triple H. He beat Triple H during Triple H's prime, then went nowhere.
So did Mr. Irrelevant, Curtis Axel. That's
what?
His name now.
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler is absolutely going to lose and get pushed back down the card. So we shouldn't be excited. Poor Rhino, who is basically the fleshy version of Super Meat Boy, because he's just a block.
He really is just built like a square.
He
like,
is.
Remember like the older pictures of Rusev?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, there's not that many straight lines on a human being. Like, I don't understand this.
I had one other point, but I can't think of it now.
Shelton Benjamin?
No, he's good. He's good.
Yes.
He's coming back, and they're going to bring a lot more enhancement talents back, including
also,
hopefully.
Also, next week on NXT, Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
Makes his return.
Oh my God, you've got three Japanese wrestlers on NXT. You know? Four! If you count Ibushi.
It's all part of Pokemon Go, Global Offensive.
And
we're mapping it out for him.
Asa, it's an American company that put it out. It's not Nintendo.
I hope we talk about that on Sunday, because
Nintendo's stock
like shot up, and then they're like, "Yeah, we didn't actually make that game." Oh, sell, 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 sell.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else to say about wrestling this week. I'm sorry it was so WWE heavy. But it was a big week for WWE and not much else. So
yeah, I couldn't really find.
So the big news coming out of this is, hey, August 27th is homecoming for CAPE Championship Wrestling. And I know Jesse doesn't like for us to promote local stuff so much, but I mean, I got to get behind an upstart promotion. You know the old saying, local news gets you local listeners.
I mean, I say that, but that's when I talk about.
Maybe someone got that wrong, because I think it was Dalton that said that Jesse doesn't like to talk about local stuff, and he quoted that. Maybe he was mistaken.
Well, I would always say local references get you local work.
Yeah.
Which is an old stand-up comedian phrase, which is if you only talk about stuff within your area, only places in your area will want you to do shows for them, because no one in Chicago cares about LA traffic. Mm-hmm. When I say that, I mean it as like, so maybe when we don't spend 10 minutes of the shows anymore bashing on people only we know, or talking about people only we know.
The insider lingo.
Yeah, so I very much doubt that Jesse would have a problem with us promoting something that people could travel to and come see.
But
yeah.
I want to point out...
That's also a kind of cornerstone of what we're talking about in wrestling.
I want to point out, though, that when I was bashing Tanner nonstop, ratings were up. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, Tanner's also on the show, so you could give it back to him.
Is he?
He was when you were doing that.
He's the Invisible Man. One last thing before we go.
The Invisible Man himself.
Aaron Picard actually had a question.
Okay.
We should read it or else he'll stop listening, and we don't want that.
No,
he's a lifesaver sometimes. And he said, do you think Roman Reigns was the right casting for Aquaman? Yes.
Yeah.
We've made that joke before. It's funny every time. I think it's funny. Khal Drogo looks exactly like Roman Reigns.
He does.
That's his real name.
I think it's Roman Reigns looks exactly like Khal Drogo, though.
That guy actually has a name.
Does he?
It's Jason Momoa, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. What should I watch tomorrow instead of the DNC when there's no wrestling on?
Rewatch NXT and the CWC.
Also, Wednesday night, doesn't it have something?
I mean, it might be like Superstars or Main Event.
Just watch that. You might see Zack Ryder win. You
might see Mojo Rawley.
if Tamara...
Oh, that was the thing I wanted to say. There's probably at some point on SmackDown going to be a match where Mojo Rawley pins Shelton Benjamin, and I want you to prepare yourself mentally to see that.
There's going to be a time when Mojo Rawley eventually pins Rusev someday. Prepare yourself. Someday. Darkest timeline. Asa's now threatening me with his eyes.
Oh, no.
Also, if yourself, Tanner, and I formed a stable, what would we be called? Bucket Brigade? let's see. You got a big white dude, a big redneck, and Aaron Picard.
I thought you were talking about Tanner when you said the big white dude.
No, that's me.
And then you followed it up. Oh, jeez.
Rainbow Coalition? No.
Rainbow Coalition of Pain.
The Coalition of Pain.
The Authors of Pain.
League of Nations. Ireland.
Just the one nation.
No, three nations. Ireland of, and I forget what Aaron is. Hawaiian? I don't, he looks Cuban maybe?
Is he related to The Rock?
I think so. Oh God, he's gonna kill me for saying all that. But Ireland, whatever he is, and then, and then Kentucky. You know, Kentucky's a nation. At least where Tanner's from, it's its own sovereign nation. So, that's the show. I hope you guys had a good night. We'll see you tomorrow for Topical Thursday for some reason. For Asa and Allie and Ethan in the background, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Yeah? Nobody?
Well.
No?
We'll see.
Night, y'all!